Good afternoon. This is Joan Perros at Radio Liberty, sitting in for Dr. Stan, and we're glad to be here with you this afternoon. Our guest this afternoon, talking about sustainable development, is going to be Jeannie Satterman. My name is Joan Perros, and we should have a great show. Jeannie has she's done quite a bit of traveling. She spends her time between Central America and, of course, North America. And she's a researcher. She's picked up lots and lots of documents, and she analyzes them, she reads them, she studies them, and compiles them into information that we can understand. She summarizes. And we're glad to have you here this afternoon, Jeannie.
Yeah, nice being with you again, Joan. Are we going to have a disclaimer?
Well, yes, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, or sponsors of this radio station, but they are those of our guests and the host and those of you that choose to call in later. So, Jeannie, you've been to a lot of meetings lately and things, and of course, sustainable development is a topic that very few people hear about. Of course, they hear about that more than Agenda 21, Agenda 21 being that blueprint that came out of the Rio Earth Summit in 1992 to implement sustainable development all over the world. And Americans are the people that really know the least about it of anybody in the world because it's been suppressed. It's been withheld from us. People can't believe when you talk about Agenda 21 that such a document even exists. That's pretty bizarre, isn't it?
Well, it's quite a big document, the International Agenda 21. And how I became interested in it, Joan, is I was a very devout member of Nature Conservancy, the Wildlife Fund, and Greenpeace. And I really love animals and plants, and I love nature. But I was listening to Dr. Stan one afternoon, and he started talking about what was happening here in the world, and I thought, well, it sounds a little bit far off, but I'm going to listen to him more and research. And I guess I have a passion for truth. And some people have more of a passion for truth than others. And some people have more time to research this. So luckily I have the time, Joan, to dig into all the United Nations documents, the county documents, and the United States documents.
We're so grateful that you have those combination of gifts, because without that, it's pretty overwhelming for a person to tackle.
Well, it was overwhelming for me because there's a lot of words in the vocabulary of the environmental documents that I did not understand. And the first document I did tackle was the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. And since that is about 1,140 pages long, once I tackled that, then the other documents were much easier.
You could hurt somebody with it, couldn't you?
Oh, it's just like a big telephone book. But the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report was published by the Cambridge University Press, and it was under the direction of the United Nations Environment Program. And what it was, as they said, quote, an independent peer review analysis of the biological and social aspects of biodiversity. And that's everything on Earth, including humans. And it got into the regulation of humans, which really fascinated me because I wanted to know what was going to happen to my lifestyle in the future years. And I have a passion for truth, but I don't like to be lied to, and I think every woman out there does not like lies. We want to know the truth. And so looking at this huge document by the United Nations, it said it was going to empower we the women. And actually, after looking through the document, it was not going to free us and empower us, but it was also going to enslave the women of the world. And this is what fascinated me on what was coming in the future. Now,
that's a frightening statement, Jeannie. But, you know, for background, I've traveled to a lot of the United Nations conferences, and wherever I go at the United Nations or the Gorbachev meetings, Gorbachev, Maurice Strong, and the others there heading these organizations talk about changing our values,
yes,
and that they are using these documents to regulate the relationship between man and nature. So it's interesting you say that this Global Biodiversity Assessment Report regulates humankind, and I would imagine that would be to make mankind subservient to nature.
Actually, yes, it does say in the Biodiversity Assessment Report, and we have an analysis of it, I believe, on Radio Liberty, about 42 pages that I have done, and on page 764 of the report, it talks about getting a new set of attitudes and values. And it also talks about paganism, traditional attitudes about nature. So it does say that nature is above man, and there will be new spiritual values. And they really go after Christianity, the Jewish religion, and also Islam. They go after the one God religions.
It says there'll be a new spirituality?
Yes, right.
Okay, and well, that's in this assessment report. And then, of course, they came out with this document in 97. They call it the Earth Charter, which is a soft law document. So they're actually going to be enforcing this through legal mechanisms.
Yes, the Earth Charter. That was written partially by Stephen Rockefeller, as I understand, right, Joan? And you had contact with him in the United Nations meetings.
Well, I understood from Stephen that he was in charge of writing the Earth Charter, and then, of course, Gorbachev and Strong were charged with the implementation of it. And then they say that they've got this free dialogue on the Internet. But anyway, yeah, Rockefeller was the one. We're going to be coming up on a break in just a few seconds here, so we'll continue that when we get back. This is Joan Parros with Radio Liberty, sitting in for Dr. Stan today. And Radio Liberty is listener-supported. You can contact Radio Liberty by calling 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-888-245-4237. And I've been just thrilled to be a member of the Radio Listener family. I would encourage you to help support all of the wonderful work that Dr. Stan and his family do. They have the largest accumulation of information on these topics that I can imagine, and so I would encourage you to take part of that, get that monthly newsletter and the four best tapes of the month and whatever other resources would be helpful to you.
Our 4 tapes set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Okay. Again, those tapes are some of the unbelievable resources that are available here at Radio Liberty. And we hope you'll contact the station. Get a list of all of the books and the tapes that are here. The shows are archived for several weeks on the Internet, of course, at RadioLiberty.com. And again, the phone number for Radio Liberty is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-888-245-4237. I know that the books that Dr. Stan and his wife accumulate and make available for purchase are invaluable to the research that I do, and without them, it's hard to get the depth of understanding that really makes it possible to put all these pieces together. Jeannie, we're back on the air here at Radio Liberty, and we were just talking about that Earth Charter and, of course, this Global Biodiversity Assessment Report that you analyzed over 1,100 pages. You've summarized and gone through to tell people what is being considered unsustainable by UNEP, which is the United Nations Environmental Program. And, of course, that's part and parcel of the Earth Summit, and it goes hand-in-hand with this Agenda 21 document to implement sustainable development. And you said that that regulates human activity, human beings, and goes along with this Earth Charter, which is a one-world religion. What else has impressed you about all of this?
Well, looking through the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, we have a list of what's unsustainable. Ski runs. Sorry, skiers. There's not going to be any more ski runs at all because you're actually changing the landscape. And that's on page 337, so everything is documented. Grazing of livestock. They don't want us to have cows, sheep, goats, horses. Anything that disturbs the soil surface. And this comes back to Gaia, the Earth goddess. Deep Ecology and the Earth Charter feel that the Earth is the skin of the Earth goddess Gaia. And so we shall not disturb her skin because she develops a fever. And this is all documented in reports that I have read. So you cannot have large hoofed animals because they compact the soil, which reduces filtration of water. Isn't that amazing? So any hoofed animal, even pigs, horses and cows, they do not want them on the earth.
So it's a whole spiritual thing for them. It's not scientific then.
Yes.
It's all spiritual.
Yes. But behind the spiritual is the very elite that's funding all the environmental groups. And this amazes me, like Nature Conservancy and Greenpeace. There's big money from the very, very rich. And you wonder why the very rich are funding the environmental groups. And ultimately, in the very end of their plan, they will have control of all the resources of the world, not only animals and plants, but they will have control of humans. That's their ultimate goal.
If I could reinforce that a little bit, Jeannie, you know, I just came back several months ago from the 10-year follow-up to the Rio Earth Summit in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I've also attended the World Food Summit. And what was unveiled in Africa, there are many things, of course, but one is called the Global Conservation Trust. And I was shocked to learn that this project is collecting samples of all of the genetic material in the world, not just on land, but under the sea. And I asked the head of the FAO, who, Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, who would have authority over all of the genetic material of the world. And he said, oh, well, we do. We have the resources to do that. So here you have this organization that's really a political front for this very small elite that you've spoken of that will be able to absolutely control our destiny. They can starve us if they want, and they will choose who can have what food and what type of resources. It's just shocking. And I mean, you know, you can read it in a book, you can hear it on the radio, but to have been there at the United Nations and have this explained to me was just unbelievable.
Well, in the local Santa Cruz newspaper here in Santa Cruz, California, they just had an article on marine reserves. And these are huge reserves in the ocean where you can, they call no-take zones, a little bit like the wilderness areas on land. Well, it will be only for animals and plants. And here in the ocean, there will be areas only for fish. And, of course, who's going to mine the minerals at the bottom of the ocean will be the big multinational corporations. And there's a United Nations treaty called the Law of the Sea, and that coincides with the big multinational corporations having control of the minerals and anything in the sea.
Well, I discovered that that was true also when I was in South Africa several months ago, because the United States has gone into a public-private partnership with the Congo Basin Forestry Project, which encompasses about 8 countries in Africa, and it includes incredible forest and, you know, water resources. And who was there at this meeting where it was announced with Colin Powell but the head of the American forestry and paper product industry? And when I spoke to our Undersecretary of State, who is the effective head of the United States delegation, John Turner, I asked him if this was going to involve a debt for environment swap, and he had to ask permission to answer that question, but he finally said yes, it was. So here you have this tremendous wealth valued, you know, around the world, these biological resources that you've described valued at trillions, trillions with a T of dollars. And here you have the head of this huge corporation that will be there and will be permitted to harvest and reap the resources. So I would have a hard time believing this had I not been there and seen it for myself.
It's the saying that I heard when I was a child, when the corporations will run the world. And I have a question, Joan. What was Secretary of State Colin Powell, what was his attitude towards sustainable development? And did he give a speech on that?
He gave a speech. He was only there in South Africa for a very short period of time. And before going over to this conference in Africa, I was reading a lot of his press announcements and speeches that were coming from the White House and other sources. And a line out of the White House was that the United States is behind the development of sustainable development, that we're behind that agenda. And so that's the official word, but Colin Powell, my personal impression was that he is simply, a front person. He's told what to say and what to do. There's really no passion in the man. He simply reads from a script. Mm-hmm. And like I say, his role there was very, very short, and the real leader of that delegation with our State Department was his Undersecretary, John Turner, who has a very, very long history in environmentalism.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with John Turner, but I am very familiar with the State Department putting in Fidel Castro in Cuba.
And how did they do that?
Well, that's an interesting story, because you hear about Fidel Castro and his 19 men up in the mountains, and how they took over the government of Cuba. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's a wonderful book written by the then ambassador to Cuba, Earl E. T. Smith. And at that time, the president was Batista. And the State Department of the United States did say to Batista, it is time to leave. You will leave tomorrow. And so that book is a gem to read, written by the ambassador to Cuba. So it wasn't Fidel Castro coming in as freeing the people. It was our State Department turning over Cuba to the communists, Fidel Castro. And we have also a local delegation that is just going to Cuba now. Our County Board of Supervisor, Jeff Almquist, is taking 30 members of residents of Santa Cruz County, and they're going to go to Cuba. But when you go there, you only go to select places. The average Cuban cannot go to the hospitals, cannot go to the beaches, cannot go where the tourists go. They are restricted from a lot of places. And when people go to Cuba and they say, oh, I saw all these wonderful things and there's freedom, no, that's the outward facade. That's the mask. And behind that facade, these Cuban people, why do they go in rafts to flee to the United States? Because they know they might die. And because they want to flee tyranny and the communist form of government.
Well, there is no liberty or freedom under a communist form of government. And imagine if we lost our liberties and freedoms in this country.
Well, then it goes back to the Biodiversity Assessment Report, because that is a socialist document. And really, it's against humans. And I thought, well, maybe they'll leave a few things left for us humans to use. And they really don't, because they actually destroy the infrastructure of the human community, such as fencing. There'll be no fences for pastures to keep your cows and sheep in, because there's not going to be any hoofed animals. And also, they don't like agriculture because it takes up too much water. Modern-day production systems, they want us to go back to manual hoeing the ground. Herbicides, building materials, industrial activities, railroads, aquaculture.
Quick break here.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay. Names synonymous with the spirit of our country. Founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call, citing 27 biblical violations.
This is Radio Liberty, and this is Joan Parros with our guest, Jeannie Soderman, and we're talking about sustainable development. And anyway, we're taking just a quick break. So,
it will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved. Is Gary Carr's book, The Divine Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, In Search of Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are moving the world as we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, philosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1 and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr. A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WARF and ask for AIDS, the unnecessary epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is Joan Paros with Radio Liberty, and we're back on the air this afternoon. This is Dr. Stan Monteith's program, but he's out of town. He'll be back in the first of the week. Our guest is Jeannie Soderman, and we've been talking about sustainable development. Jeannie, of course, has done an incredible amount of research and gone through the documents that are available to most people only, or maybe I should say they're only available to very few people at the international level. And if you'd like to call in with any questions, of course, we'd like to hear from you. And you can call us here in the Central Coast at area code 831-464-8295.
Joan, I'd like to go into what is going to be a sustainable community. Okay. This is so important. And I'd like to give you the definition that was given by the United States Forest Service, the Georgia Forestry Commission. And this is the closest definition that I've come to that really says that it's right on what it's going to be. A sustainable community is one which provides all of its own needs for air, water, land, food, fiber, and energy resources within its own boundaries. And how it started in Santa Cruz County in 1990, there was a ballot measure on the county ballot called Measure C, and it encapsulated all the environmental principles of Agenda 21. And so it did get passed by the people of Santa Cruz County in 1990, and it was a 10-year program. At the year 2000, the County Board of Supervisors of Santa Cruz had an option. They would put that to the voters of Santa Cruz County, or they could override that and just vote for it for another 10 years. And this is what they did. They voted for Measure C, which is the International Agenda 21, for another 10 years.
Measure C, it doesn't sound like Agenda 21. It'd be pretty hard to recognize, wouldn't it?
No, and that's where I went line by line and compared International Agenda 21 to Measure C. And I found that they were just exactly the same. And it's interesting, anything that comes up on Measure C or International Agenda 21, there are duplicates that go to three organizations. One is called Action Santa Cruz County. That is a group that created Local Agenda 21. Environmental Council.
That's the Santa Cruz Agenda 21 plan.
This is the Santa Cruz County.
And interestingly, Santa Cruz is one of only three communities in the whole United States that is bold enough to identify their community plan as Agenda 21. The others call it something else. They'll call it smart growth. They'll call it
comprehensive planning, growth management.
Yeah.
And also the Sierra Club was very, very important on putting principles into this ballot measure, Measure C. So here again, you have three very important local Santa Cruz
NGOs, non-governmental organizations.
Ah, NGOs. Now, that's interesting because it does say in the biodiversity assessment report, we're going back to that, the blueprint for regulating humans, plants, and animals in the earth. It does say on page 1037, it says, they're going to permit NGOs or other organizations to sue in cases of non compliance. And this will provide a legal basis for conservation contracts, such as easements, and a lot of farmers have easements on their lands, management agreements, and for the equitable sharing of benefits. So the NGOs have become very, very powerful, and they will partner with the government and the councils in their district. So they actually will have the legal basis to sue.
I can't stand it. They're used for monitoring, they're used for assessing, they're going to be used for policing. And of course, part of that Earth Summit I was at, I went early and went to an environmental law conference, and the attendees there were talking about it's time to move from monitoring to policing. And of course, they talked about the NGOs fulfilling this capacity, you know, so they'll be out, you know, spying on you, turning you in, reporting to you. And it's interesting, this environmental crimes bill that was just passed in August by Keeley enables and, in fact, encourages municipalities to do that. The funds are drying up. It was all over the front page of our local newspaper yesterday. There's no money. But here we have the Keeley bill, which has these roving prosecutors throughout the county that will go looking for any type of infraction that violates these radical environmental precepts. And then the prosecutor and is it the city or the entities involved will share basically 100% of the fines and the, whatever they can, extort from people. It's just diabolical the way they've set this up.
Yeah, they're going after private property. And in California, that was Assembly Bill number 2486, sponsored by Fred Keeley. It was called the Environmental Enforcement and Training Act of 2002. And it does say that they will have roving prosecutors. I mean, that to me is amazing. Well, they're actually come into our area, and the district attorney will actually deputize that prosecutor so he can work legally within our regional district. And the funds, 50% shall be paid to the office of the city attorney, or the district attorney, or the attorney general, whoever brings the action. So they will get 50% whoever starts the action of environmental crimes. The other 50% shall be paid to the agency which is responsible for the investigation of the action. So they're going to divvy up the monies that they can get from the private property owners. They also say they're going to pay monies to people, to individuals that actually report these environmental crimes. So we're going to have a lot of snitches. And that brings into, when you read this bill and you hear about it, it becomes, we're going to become a very paranoid society.
That's exactly what they did in communist Russia. It's exactly what they did in communist Cuba.
And in China and in Hitler's day, because people kept to themselves because they didn't know who they could trust. Families became divided. Communities became divided. So this is a horrendous bill, and I believe this is a uniform bill that's been reproduced all over the United States.
Isn't that what divisity is about, dividing people? Divisity.
Yeah, dividing people, dividing neighbors, dividing families, husband and wife and children.
Mm.
So here again, this environmental bill is very critical. In Santa Cruz County, about 4 months ago, I happened to go into the door of the Public Works Department, and I'm seeing on the doors that open out on the left-hand side was a flag of the United Nations. And on the right-hand side was the flag of the United States of America. And I went in, and I says, well, who authorized this? Well, evidently, it was asked of the director, Thomas Bolick, of the Public Works Department. He said it was okay to put it up. But who actually asked to put it up was the head of the union, Smedberg. And I had a long talk with him, and he says, well, now, Jeannie, we're both citizens of the United States and we're citizens of the world. And I said, no, Mr. Smedberg, I am a citizen of the United States of America, because the Universal Declaration of Human Rights from the United Nations is not compatible with our Bill of Rights.
Well, you know, I've got another example from the United Nations meeting that I was just at, and there's this ICLE, International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, of which Santa Cruz is a full member, and there was the clerk of the Miami-Dade County Courts is currently the vice chair of that organization. And in a press conference, I asked this U.S. citizen if there was not, you know, some conflict between the implementation of Agenda 21 and the correlative rights that come from the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which are, correlative rights are individual liberty things such as freedom of speech, private property. And his answer to me was, well, absolutely. He says these individual rights will have to take a back seat to the collective. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the type of garbage rhetoric that is being spoken in these international forums by persons who call themselves Americans, but they are spouting this globalist New World Order agenda. It's not in our newspapers, and you know, the American people are being lied to. This is all being kept from them. They have no idea what's going on.
I wish that would be said at the local meetings, at the local supervisors' meetings, and the city council's meetings, because ICLE, and this is important to remember, this organization, the acronym is ICLEI. It's the International Environmental Agency, and they go to the international meetings, and they supposedly represent local agencies. Well, actually, they implement local environmental initiatives. And this is where it's all at, is the environmental law will be coming down. And ICLE is actually out of Canada, but they do have an office in Berkeley, California.
Correct.
And if you go to this site, it's www.iclei.org, you will find a list of full members. And on the list is the city of Santa Cruz. And also on their site, they will have a list of other cities that are fairly close to sustainability in Agenda 21. And guess what, Joan? Santa Cruz County in California is also listed. So our county has signed on to ICLE and all its international policies.
Oh, my gosh.
So in the Santa Cruz City also has signed on.
How long ago did the county sign up with this organization?
You know, I'm not sure of that exactly. And they hold things very close to them. And they have not admitted to Santa Cruz County that they are a member of ICLE. But they're following all the principles of International Agenda 21, which ICLE is helping the local governments. Santa Cruz City is actually a full member, and they're right on board right now. And you wonder what's happening locally, all these crazy things that's happening locally, and you wonder, are they thinking logically? This was just in the newspaper about parking fees down in the city of Santa Cruz. And under this plan, they haven't actually said it was okay, but they're thinking about it. You know, it's always the old thing, they're doing a survey and they're thinking about it.
Oh, yeah, they're probably
it.
Getting our opinion, right?
Right. Our opinion,
our
that doesn't count for anything.
Maybe it's a predetermined outcome.
consensus-based.
Yeah.
Well, under the plan, residents of the city of Santa Cruz would buy $20 a year passes to park on the streets in front of their homes. Now, you know, it's free right now. And non-residents would have to pay a price of $20 per month or $240 a year just to get a yearly parking permit. And these are people that live outside the limits of the city of Santa Cruz, but they have to come work into the city of Santa Cruz. So this is amazing where they have to buy permits. But you know, the ultimate goal is to get rid of the cars, and that's what they're looking for.
Well, right. You know, all we have to do is look at that Santa Cruz Local Agenda 21 plan, and we saw these bike paths and listen to all the transportation. They're destroying our roads. Anyway, let's go to a break.
Are there powerful organizations working behind the scenes today? Are they directing the destiny of our...
concentration camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
This is Joan Perros with Radio Liberty, and we are back on the air with Jeannie Soderman, and we want to wrap up this show on sustainable development, and we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments. The phone number, 831-464-8295. You know, Jeannie, people, you know, you say Santa Cruz is almost like saying Berkeley 20, 30 years ago. They just go, oh, it's a nutcase. And it's real easy, I think, for people to become complacent or smug and think, oh, those, you know, those crazy people, the dumb things they're doing. But just because your community doesn't call your general plan Agenda 21 doesn't mean it hasn't been implemented or it's not in the process. So if you have visioning going on and all of these local initiatives, it's the planning departments and... What?
Environmental Health Services. Yeah. The planning department is very, very important because they're the ones that really are implementing most of the projects.
Right. So we never really hear about it or see about it. It's all being done really by unelected officials within the government.
Yeah. And the Board of Supervisors, they're going right down the line of implementing the International Agenda 21. And there are, in sustainable development, you have three legs. You have the environment, you have the economy, which is business, and then you have the social equity. And I know we did a two-hour show the other day, Joan, but we didn't talk about social equity and who's assessing this particular project. And it's actually United Way is very much involved in the community assessment project. And they're in their ninth year now, but what they actually do assessment of is education, economy, that's part of the social equity, public safety, natural environment, health, social environment, government, politics, culture, recreation, and mobility, meaning transportation. And so the United Way is extremely involved with this. And they do get a lot of monies. A lot of people take have monies taken out of their paycheck to go to the United Way. And then they filter the money down to the NGOs and the projects that are implementing our International Agenda 21.
And donation to that is really just on the border of being voluntary. I know at my husband's office, it's you know, they practically twist his arm off to force him to donate to that.
Yeah.
And there are other organizations that we would prefer to give our money to.
Right. And then there's one organization that puts a lot of monies out. I'm not sure where they get their monies. It's individual, and but it's the Santa Cruz Foundation, the Foundation of Santa Cruz County. And they give a lot of monies out to NGOs also. Are you familiar with that particular organization?
Is that the one,
Joan,
that's involved with Spectra and the arts?
Yes.
Community Foundation?
Yes.
You know, I am, because our family did set up a foundation several years ago to work with a promotion of classical music. And that's been on the back burner for me. But several years ago, we invested a lot of energy in trying to do a film. And naively, I participated in that process of trying to get a grant through the organization, and it was interesting to see the types of non-conventional people that were paraded through that, and they're really supporting not so much the classical Western civilization reflective type arts. They're more towards this really, what do I want to call it, you know, more New Age type of thing.
Right. Well, they're putting money to the organizations that they feel that can change the culture, the belief system, the values.
Thank you.
And that
exactly.
is where they're going after. And that's part of social equity. Very important. And under business, there was a website under the Santa Cruz County Business Council. It was SCC, businesscouncil.org. And I got this off of April and May of last year, 2002, and I got all the names of the companies that are under the Business Council. This is very important because there's no more a website that I can go to. They're off the web, and I call, and there's an answering device. But the last seminar I went to in around San Francisco, the facilitator said, Chapter 30 of the International Agenda 21 is going to be the 800-pound gorilla. If we don't have the businesses to go along with sustainability, then we cannot implement sustainable communities and the International Agenda 21. So it will be the businesses. Either you have a small business, and if you don't have enough money to make the changes into a green business, then who are you going to work for, Joan? You're going to have to work either for a big multinational corporation, and they will have actually committees that will indoctrinate the employees on what it means to be sustainable, sustainable behavior, sustainable practices. So actually right now, it is the destruction of the middle class, which is the destruction of the small businesses owned by the middle class. And this is what's happening right now.
Well, I work for the largest insurer in the United States, and it's been interesting these past several years to see how they are implementing the agenda. The Global Compact is the document that was unveiled that I was introduced to when I was at the Millennium Summit. You and I were at the Millennium Summit in New York in 2000, and that very clearly delineates what behaviors and reporting and monitoring things that businesses must do in order to be in compliance. And then, of course, you have all of the ISO ratings that businesses have to conform to.
The certification program, and this is just interesting because this is a third-party certification, ISO 14001. And what I see being done in Central America now, our coffee prices are way down, but it's being controlled by the elitists, and no one understands that. And here in Santa Cruz County, they call it fair trade coffee, where the plantation owners get more money for their coffee. No, it's not fair trade. It's being controlled by the elitists, and they want control of the processing plants throughout the world. And so if you don't have organic coffee or bird-friendly coffee, then it will not be processed in the processing plants throughout the world.
bird-friendly coffee.
Yes.
So what should people look for when they go to buy coffee?
I always say I do not want fair trade coffee. I want regular coffee and not bird-friendly coffee. Because once you sign the contract, if you own a coffee plantation, you have about 50 rules you have to go by. And one of them is you have to have enough trees, evergreens, so the foliage will be there all through the season. And also there's buffer zones along the waterways, along the rivers, and there can be no subsistence hunting, meaning the local people who are very poor cannot come in and use slingshots to get their food. So it actually will be against the poor people of the third world countries because they're putting so many regulations on the land of the coffee plantations now.
Well, once the population control agenda is fully implemented, there won't be any third world people to worry about, will there?
Well, no. And this, I'm really concerned about the vaccination program that's coming up. And we defeated that in California, mandated the Model Health Emergency Powers Act regarding mandated vaccinations. I'm concerned that the federal government will come out with all an encompassing regulations saying we're having an emergency and we need to have mandatory vaccinations. And that's the one thing about a free country and being a woman is the right to choose what you want to come into your body. And that's where I feel all the women believe that it's time for the women to get together and say not to have issues that divide us, but we want to keep our freedom and have choice what comes into our bodies.
Yeah, and unfortunately that's a cliche that's used to talk about killing our unborn, but it's interesting to hear these phrases turned around and used at the United Nations about choice.
It's a very clever plan. It's extremely devious. And going to the Gaia conference, I have a little sticker that says, I pledge allegiance to Mother Earth, one planet, indivisible. And so as a woman in our Bill of Rights, we have the right to choose what we believe in. But that is not what's happening. They're forcing pantheism on us now in the schools, and also sustainability. Behavior is worshiping the earth and having sustainable behavior and thoughts. So there again, sustainability is the enslavement of the woman and also the men. We can't forget the men, but I feel the elitists knew that the women were very, very powerful, and that is where they wanted to divide us, so they could divide us, and then the elitists could have their enslavement plan of the women and the men.
Well, and, you know, that just reinforces everything that I have seen with this whole spiritual agenda. What can people do? We've got to wrap up here, but what can people do?
I think it's very important. Forget the commissions. You go on the commissions. You have a plan. They change the plan. Go down to the city council, the board of supervisors, the commissioners, whatever they call it, in your area. And when there's enough people, they're going to back off. But they always have plan B, C, D, up to Z. So people have to be informed, and that's about getting, we have the sustainability packet. What is that called on Radio Liberty, Joan?
Dr. Stan has the sustainable development syllabus. So call Radio Liberty and get a hold of that.
That's very important.
Become informed, of course, and, you know, get down there. Show up. And, you know, you've just been standing in the gap, Jeannie. You've been down there, and more people need to understand. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. And, golly, we appreciate all of the work that you do to, you know, inform all of us. It's just a labor of love, and you've really helped open the eyes of so many of us. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
transmitter.